You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Shelley Hirsch. She's talking to us from Manhattan. Shelley, thanks so much for being with me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for inviting me.
Shelley, let's talk about what you're working on now. I mean, of course, we're still in the middle of the pandemic here. It's December 8th in 2020. What are you working on now? And I imagine the pandemic has affected your practice in an enormous way. So, let's begin with what you're working on or how that's going.
Well, I'd like to talk about what I just finished working on. I was asked to do a live stream for a festival in Canada called the Electric Eclectics. And I just didn't feel like doing a normal, you know, stand in front of the microphone and have someone film me. So I decided, and particularly because I'm going to be getting rid of the place that I've lived in for 44 years, I've decided to almost make the performance an homage to my apartment. So I'm filming. I was filmed by this amazing guy, violinist, and who loves doing camera work, Cleek Schrey. And it, over the course of a couple of months, he filmed me in various parts of my house. Like, he caught me cooking and singing in the kitchen. I decided I'd like to do a scene in a bubble bath in the bathtub because it sounds so amazing. There's one scene where I'm in bed covered by many, 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 many pieces of shredded newspaper. And part of my process lately has been writing to music on very large paper on the wall. So several of the pieces happen with Cleek playing violin and me writing and speaking and singing at the same time. So it's kind of kooky.
I like that.
Tell
me more about that. That's exciting. How did it all come together?
I'll send you the link afterwards. So then we collected all of these bits that we filmed, and some, of course, I wasn't even singing in a microphone, except for one part where I'm working with my harmonizer, and what I love about it is it pits me in very different acoustic and psychological landscapes, because I'm playing with various voices and various envelopes. Acoustic envelopes. So, but the rest of it, you know, he caught me in the kitchen moving around like a kook. One scene, I knew that I was going to be working with the music of Michael Schumacher, who I love this piece. It really inspired me. So I'm kind of doing a piece, kind of dancing, if you can call it that, in a big chair. And yeah, so it's all over my house. There's one scene where I'm in the couch and Cleek is playing this exquisite drone and I'm writing on the computer and speaking at the same time. So that's what I just finished working on. And last night, what I was working on, I was listening to a concert online. Experimental Intermediate Phil Niblock has a series, and Bob Bellaroux was playing. And I do this writing to music, and it's very stream of conscious, and what comes out is always very surprising. So
let's talk about that writing, writing to music. So it's stream of consciousness. It's not automatic writing. There's a narrative that's coming out. Is that correct?
No, it's more, it's kind of automatic. Every once in a while it lands on something where, for example, a word becomes very familiar, and I associated, like at the end of the piece that I was writing to, suddenly I was talking about Turkish cotton candy, and that reminded me of the person who told me about it. So it kind of ends with me speaking about him and profiteroles, which, you know, it just ended in a very sweet way. The one kind of confection ended into my speaking of the lovely sweetness of a person.
I like that. And how does the music affect that? I mean, you know, the tone of what you're writing.
Oh, it's essential. For example, recently I did a piece for Issue Project Room in Brooklyn, and they were so generous in letting me just do, you know, really experiment, and all of it was writing to Morton Feldman mostly. Yeah, actually the longer pieces were all written to music by Morton Feldman, and some of the earlier pieces in it, I just flicked my harmonizer. I might come out with a crazy, you know, the voice. When the voice is in a different kind of mode, I say different kind of things, because the speed of that voice, the envelope, kind of suggests a character, and so different words come out. So that's a two-part thing that I did in quarantine, and there are images also. So all the audio parts are in black, and then there are just little glimpses of photos of my house that I took. So that was another.
And how did you do that in quarantine with that space? Is this through your recording first? How do things happen simultaneously? It seems that's hard to do with Zoom or other software where you're listening and singing or vocalizing, or no?
Well, I didn't do. I gave them the recording, so I recorded it all, and then over the telephone, I gave in all the images that I wanted to have. And I worked with someone about, you know, towards putting the images in. So I enjoyed it a lot because I don't have to be seen, you know. I could just, I loved just making an audio piece. And I feel really good about it. I mean, it's an experiment, and it might not be the kind of virtuosic vocal, extended vocal thing that some people associate me with, but it was great to do. And what happens to me when I listen to music of different tempos or different styles, it brings out a totally different narrative or totally different text. And I try to
explain that to me. What do you mean that it brings out different text? Yeah, I'm very interested in that.
You know what I'm going to do? I'm gonna get a little bit of what I wrote yesterday. Now,
okay.
The music that I was listening to yesterday was very, very noise music with lots of texture. So I wrote a plethora of enigmatic portraits. Someone spun the dial, and his lips were like cherries. Rosy rose, sweltering heat, sine wave, basketballs breaking through the roof and never making it through the hoop. She lit the light and signaled a rainstorm, triumphant, nonetheless battered. The pastry chef ate all the blueberries before they went into the pie. "Hayanara," said he, and waved goodbye. A tumult, the rust, the dust, the busting out all over. Crimea. He loved walking in the mountains there in tattered clothes, a tabernacle. I kept going on. So I just wrote that while the music was happening. And that's what came out. And a lot of it often starts in that kind of thing where the syllable of the word is very important. So I'm finding words that have a certain rhythm and certain syllabic content.
Yeah, I agree. It's wonderful just to hear you read that, because that all comes across just in that reading, the syllabic content and how you're approaching this. And so there'll be links to some of this in here.
Well, not that one. That one. I read. I was lying in bed listening to the concert, and I had my computer, and I just started writing. But the one that I was telling you about, in which the it's called what is it called? Something texting quarantine. I can't remember, but I'll send you the link to that, and then also the music and performance in my house that I mentioned, if you'd like to have it.
Yes, that would be great.
So I'm getting that really kind of aroused my desire to write again, because it just came so, it just flowed out of me.
And that's exciting. How has this, this pandemic just seems to be going on and on. We're in the 10th month. Has this affected your work at all? I mean, it must. You're working in different ways, but has it affected it in terms of content too, or how you're working in any way? Has any part of your practice really changed?
Well, now I remember the name of the piece that I did for Issue Project Room. It's called Generating Text. And so I work and find different ways to generate text. Is it going to be writing it while listening to different kinds of music? Is it going to be listening to a kind of music that propels me to move in a very, kooky way? I don't know what the right word for that would be, but to locate a word that comes directly out of my movement, which is a reaction to the music. So it's not really dance, but the word and the sound and word and the movement are extremely connected and tethered to the music that I'm listening to.
And I mean that's how you've always worked, right? That's part of how you build all this. I just meant in a pandemic itself. I mean, I suppose like all artists, I've been talking to artists all over the world, and everyone's just working more or working harder or working in a difficult situation. Some people, it's the content of this sort of extreme year has filtered into their work, and others not. So I guess I'm asking if the kind of narrative of this year of all of this has filtered into your work as well.
Well, the what happened is that I was given kind of opportunities to work in a very different way. Like, I'm not out there performing or going on tour, and it just, asked me this time to come up with different ways of working. So,
well, and this is the challenge for all performers now. Yeah, that's what I meant. That is really the challenge now. How do you perform when you can't perform? This seems kind of like almost an existential problem, right? right? How does that happen? But you found a way around it, essentially. It's why I keep kind of hitting that note and saying, gosh, like, what's happening during the pandemic? Because you've been able to work, and that seems kind of extraordinary.
Well, in a way, I do love performing, but I really, there's something about just like the way that I made this piece was compiling a bunch of little scenarios. And I guess I enjoy that kind of composing of elements more than I do actual performing, although people might find that hard to believe because I'm, people know me as a performer. So, but I did perform, but then I can choose what I liked, and they're almost like taking little snapshots and putting them together, and that was more enjoyable to me than being on stage.
Right. Well, that's interesting. Yeah, that's true. So it's changing, and in that way, more enjoyable in some respects. So, it sounds like moving forward in this way would work for you. If the pandemic goes on another year, you can keep performing and working in this way?
Well, if people keep hiring me to do these things, but of course I'll do it on my own. I had to have somebody that was filming, and that's not always possible. You know, the thing that I do, I mean, the wonderful thing about that in that particular piece was not only did I have someone filming, but we also played music together. Like, I had written something on Facebook saying, I'm desperate, I need to get to the country. Anybody want to go on a little trip? And this person that I knew, who I hadn't seen in a couple of years, said, hey, I'd like to do that. And he also read that another time I said, well, you know, I'm looking for someone who I'll do an exchange. I'll give free singing lessons in exchange for someone filming me, or you can live here in exchange for, you know, filming me. So it turned out we were in the car. You know, he decided, okay, I have a car, let's go on a day trip. And then he said, I'd like to film you also. And I had a spare room, so he could stay there, and he had his violin, and I said, why don't you play? I want to hear you play. And he played, and I was like, oh my God, so this has to be part of it. So that's one thing to miss. It's the actual, what I do like about performing, especially as an improviser, is the kind of conversation, the musical conversation you have with different people. Because I play with a very wide range of musicians, and just being able to find the music with somebody real time like that is exciting. But so that happened in my very own house with Cleek Schrey. He's the violinist.
I love that. That's the violinist. And is there anything that's happening in the foreseeable future that you want to talk about? The way forward is you're just going to do more projects like this if people hire you. Is there any other plans or projects for the future or the next year?
Well, yeah. I mean, I'm going to do a concert at Roulette. I haven't decided exactly what it's going to be yet. I'd love to do more of these things. I know. I have to put out my book of all this writing that I did to music. And I had this most extraordinary residency. I mean, it was unbelievable. And I had a huge space and a lot of time and space to work. And I wrote a lot of text, and then I organized that into a performance and an installation. But I'm supposed to be making a book out of the written material and the drawings that I did and images of the text as well and my process. So that's what I should be doing now. I have a tendency to procrastinate unless somebody says you have to have it by this date. So, yeah, that's what I need to do.
The book is what you need to do next.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. But then I will work towards what I do at Roulette. For example, during my concert at this residency, I had a fantastic computer animator. I typed, and he was able to just, you know, my typing went onto the screen as I was speaking and typing at the same time. So there will definitely be some of that writing, speaking, and singing in the new work that I do.
Well, that's exciting, and exciting to hear about what you have done this year. Thanks for sharing that. And one other thing, I'm always curious what everyone's reading. What are you reading at the moment?
You want to hear something funny? Because the person that just called my friend gave me a book called Being Here is Everything, about the life of a painter, the first woman to actually do self-portraits, also in the nude. She was a friend of Rilke. Her name Paula Motorson Becker, and that's so funny because my friend in Switzerland was doing a performance about her that day, and then this woman who just called on the phone a second ago gave me this book. And the other book is by my former experimental theater director. She's now like 88. This is her 10th book, and it's called Entry Without Inspection, A Writer's Life in El Norte, and she dedicated it to me and her son, so I have to read it. I'm terrible.
Yes, you do.
Way too much online, yeah. But that's funny. Shelley, that
I want to thank you so much for this interview today. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you. Thanks for asking me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.